Our reading today comes from Mark 9. We'll start at verse 14. Jesus heals a boy possessed by an impure spirit. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief."
Thanks. The father is desperate. He's got this son who has been possessed by an evil spirit for some time now. Father can't sleep at night. He doesn't know what the spirit is going to do to his precious son. It's thrown him into the fire, it's thrown him into the water. He's convulsing. He doesn't know, he fears for his safety. He fears for the safety of maybe himself and the other family members as well. He struggles with this day to day. And so the father hears about this healing group of men led by a great teacher named Jesus. He makes his way towards this healing group of men. Jesus isn't there at the moment. Jesus is on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, or up the hill a bit, with Peter, James, and John. And the disciples figure that this isn't a real problem. They can heal him because they've been doing it. They've been driving out spirits. They've been healing people. They can make this happen. And so they give it a shot. But it doesn't work. And the father's desperation, you can imagine with me, the father's desperation just grows worse. Because he got all his hopes up that this boy was going to be healed by these men. And then nothing. Nothing. It's the same. About that time, Jesus comes down from the mountain. And as soon as people see him, they start running toward him. And you know the way it goes. Everybody wants to get their side in first, because there's a big argument that's just happened now, just a little ways off with these men and the disciples and the rest of the crowd that's around that the disciples cannot heal. And there's this big argument that's happening, and Jesus comes up on the scene, and everybody's clamoring to get their side in to explain what's going on. And the father makes his way to Jesus, elbows his way through, and explains the whole situation. And Jesus pins it to the boards right away. Gets to the root cause of the problem when he says, "You unbelieving generation. You unbelieving generation." Then they bring the boy, and the boy ends up being in front of Jesus. Of course, goes into a fit on his own. And the father, in his desperate plea, says, if you can do anything, just anything, if you can do it. And Jesus says, if you can, he says, everything is possible for those who believe. And the father says right away, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. Today we're starting a new sermon series. For the next number of weeks, we'll be looking at the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is this statement of faith that we as a church adhere to. We say it from time to time in our church. And this statement of faith has been in with Christians since, in its entirety, at least since 390 A.D. Rhonda was just talking about what A.D. means. 390 A.D. That's the earliest manuscript that is found with the entire Apostles' Creed upon it. And there's bits and pieces that are dated back even further than that to the second century. So years 100 and something to the second century. The Apostles' Creed likely came out of a need to stand in the face of persecution or to stand in the face of heresy. And so when people would come up and they would say, you got to denounce Christ or die, they say, this is what we believe. Kill me if you need to, but this is what we believe. Or if somebody comes up and says, I don't believe in the virgin birth, this is what we believe. This is where the buck stops. This is where we draw the line at the Apostles' Creed. And the first two words and every statement in this creed has got this connotation to it. The first two words, as you see on the screen, I believe. I believe. As the Father in the text said today, I do believe. What does it mean when we say I believe? What does it mean? What's the connotation behind I believe? Well, really, I believe really has really nothing to do with you or me. It has to do with us making a statement saying that this is truth. This statement is truth. When we say all these statements in the Apostles' Creed, we say these things are truth. Absolutely. So when we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And when we say, and Jesus Christ is only begotten Son, our Lord. In fact, I was going to say this earlier or later on. I was going to have the congregation recite the Apostles' Creed. Mandy, can you just bring that up now for us? We'll stand and we'll say the Apostles' Creed together, and then we won't do it later on. Let's do this right now. Let's stand and say the Apostles' Creed together. Let's say these words. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body. Oh, sorry. And the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, man. Please be seated. Yeah, have a seat. Thank you for correcting me on that. Do you know what you just said? Do you know what you just said? I believe in some pretty fantastic stuff. I believe in God the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I believe in that He was born from a virgin. I believe in the forgiveness of sins. I believe in a Holy Catholic Church, meaning one church, small c Catholic, not Roman Catholic. Holy Catholic Church, set apart and won by God. Do you hear what you've just said? You're saying this is truth. This is truth that Jesus was born from a virgin. People would call you crazy nowadays. In fact, there's a growing element within Christianity which is doubting the virgin birth, believe it or not. You're saying, when you say in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the body. You're saying that this body that will one day pass away will come back to life. When you say, I believe that Jesus died, was buried, risen again, you're saying that somebody came back to life. You're saying a ton of stuff in this statement. And when you're saying that these things are true, because I believe is actually making a truth claim. And when you're saying that these things are truth, you are bucking the trend of the world. It happened back then when this creed came out. They needed to make a stand. And we need it now too. The Father in the text today says, I believe. I believe it's true, Jesus, that you can heal. But he also said another statement. Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Have any of you ever said this in your own life? I've said this tons, as I'm struggling with certain things in my life, and God, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Meaning that sometimes there's doubts that rise up. Sometimes there's things that go sideways, and I just don't know what to think anymore. Sometimes things just don't look the way that there's a mountain in front of me, and I don't know how I'm going to get over it. Sometimes it just looks so overwhelming. But when Jesus says, all things are possible for those who believe, for those who trust in Jesus, all things are possible. He's not fooling. You know, Jesus is a very situational teacher, meaning that he, from the place where he was, from the things that were surrounded him, he often chose to teach. In this same story, in the same story, but it's in Matthew's account of the same story, Jesus brings up a very familiar, well, familiar for me anyway, but familiar story about faith of a mustard seed. He claimed that the disciples didn't have enough faith, and that's why they couldn't heal the boy. But But the faith of Jesus said, with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And so, even though the text doesn't say it, we know that they are at the base of the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's mustard plants quite all over the place in Israel. And I could just see Jesus plucking a plant and extracting the seeds and putting it in his hands. He says, see this? Looks like ground black pepper, coarse ground black pepper in your hand. Take one of these seeds and you can tell that mountain to move and it's going to move. Now, does that mean, was Jesus being literal about this? No, I don't think so. But being very figurative for sure, saying that impossibilities will be able to be handled. They will be possible. The impossibilities are possible through faith. I had a situational teaching as well when I was in Israel. Same sort of thing. I actually plucked a mustard seed flower and extracted the seeds and put it in my hand as I was looking in the distance at Herodium. Herodium is this big fortress that Herod built. And I talked about Herodium here before, where it was a hill, but the hill wasn't tall enough. So Herod brought in this, he made the hill twice as high as it was so that he could put his fortress on top of this hill. Now, I'll tell you, that took a lot more work and effort than filling a hole in Wingham. It took effort, it took construction, it took a lot of doing to make this hill happen. And yet, Jesus says, the situational teaching for me is, faith of a mustard seed can move that mountain. And for the people that were in Israel at the time of Herod, they would never think that Herod could be overthrown, that Herod or Herod's family would pass away. They would never think that Rome would be obliterated, that Rome would fall. But Rome fell. Herod's gone. Jesus still stands. This is the impossibility that is possible through faith. And yet, we say, along with the Father, when I doubt, help me. When I can't let it sink in. Because think about it. When we are talking about the Apostles' Creed, and when we're saying these fantastic things, how do you explain to somebody virgin birth? How do you get through your mind the resurrection of the body? How does this all come to be? We don't know, but we walk by faith, not by sight. And so, as we move forward in this next number of weeks looking at the Apostles' Creed, we will be looking at what we believe, what we say as truth statements. But I ask you to continue to look at this creed, and every time you read it, with this understanding that you are saying, this is absolutely true. This is truth. When you say, I believe. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, once again, we are amazed. And once again, as we recited this creed, we are simply amazed at what we are saying is truth. It's not about us, God. It's about you. And it's about your act of love for us, that we can say these words, and that we can say them, the words that are based on Scripture, Lord, and that have been around for centuries. We ask, God, that you would allow this thought of I believe becoming very real in our lives. And let's live this as well as recite it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll rise and we'll sing, "We Believe in God the Father."